carrying on from the passage from Exodus 14, verses 1 to 16, after reading this, I come up with a title for today's message, and it's Fear Without Faith Equals Failure. Now, it might sound a bit strange, but we'll see how it unfolds. Now, fear is natural. Every one of us here possess fear. We all fear, and we experience fear from the moment of our birth until right up to the time that we depart this mortal coil and die. Now, fear can be a good thing, so long as we challenge it and challenge it in the right way. It can stop us from doing stupid things or dangerous things. It can stop us from getting too close to the fire, which I've seen plenty of evidence of, being a firefighter in the past. And the consequences can be deadly or devastating. And sometimes the death is better than the devastation that's left. Some people, though, have an irrational fear. They fear things, silly things to us, like spiders, wasps, clowns, or even like me, work. That's why I retired. Fear can either drive you to usually do the wrong or irrational thing. It can make you a captive. You can feel like a rabbit caught in the headlights. We can freeze and just await for whatever fate delivers to us. It can rob us of our joy, the joy of experiencing new things, because we don't want to move on. That's if we choose to let it dictate the way we live. But we have got a choice. Today in the world, there are a lot of people who know nothing else but fear. As we have experienced during the last 18 months, and are still in the grips of the pandemic today, there are people who are afraid of going out of the house, afraid of meeting people. You know, the scripture tells us that we should not give up meeting together. Yet, with the pandemic, we have put restrictions on, the government has put restrictions on everybody. And the current situation in Afghanistan, which is devastating, and it's obviously causing a lot of fear to the people there, but a lot of fear to the people here as well, because we're all wondering, are there going to be repercussions of the terrorists here? But why do we let fear control us? I believe it's simply because they don't have faith in the Lord. The Bible tells us where faith comes from. In Romans 10:17, we read, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." Therefore, it seems clear to me that if we don't have Jesus in our life, then we can't have faith, because faith comes from hearing and believing the word of Jesus. The Holy Spirit that dwells within the believer, he's the one that provides us with the prompts that help us to recognize when fear is there and how to conquer it by exercising our faith. And faith, like everything else, unless we exercise it, it won't grow. So we've got to continually return to the Lord and ask him to strengthen our faith. In Daniel 3, verses 16 to 17, I'm sure it's a passage you're all well aware of, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. Their faith freed them from fear, and the only thing that the fire accomplished was to set them free from the ropes that bind them. Nebuchadnezzar was so impressed by their faith, as we read on in chapter 3 to verse 30, it tells us, "Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." How brave do you feel this morning? Today, each of us have a choice. We can either live by fear or live by faith. If we choose faith, we will live our entire lives, never fully experiencing the great satisfaction of taking risks for God. But if we choose to walk in faith, we will experience a newfound freedom that will lead us to a personal assurance that we are living life to its fullest and experiencing the real joys that salvation brings. Now, some of us here today may still be living for fear, even though we want to live by faith. But with the Lord's help, we can turn our fears into faith today. To begin with, it would be helpful for us to understand that the most important thing is that our fears, rarely come to fruition. We worry about things which never happen. And that's going back to the irrational fears. But let us look at an example of people that should be living by faith, but instead they gave into fear. The passage we read this morning, or that Linda read this morning from Exodus, tells us the Israelite people, they were living in bondage for 400 years. Yet, when they got the joys that they wanted, released from Egypt and all the fear, then it struck in. How are we going to get on? Who's going to look after us now? In Egypt, we were fed. There was always food on the table. But now we're in the desert. They didn't trust in the Lord. They let fear take over from their faith. And if we take the Israelites as an example of what fear can do, if we let it replace faith in our lives, it will make us just as skeptical as they were. In Exodus 14:11, we read, "Then they turned against Moses and complained, 'Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt?'" You know, when we're afraid, we too can begin to doubt. We doubt ourselves, we doubt God, we doubt other people, and we become very skeptical and disobedient. Studies have shown that cynics at the root have a basic problem with fear. And you know, we can be quite cynical when it comes to being fearful about things. We can make jokes about it, can't we? To make it sound light and less trivial. But if we don't conquer that fear, it can bring us right down. I don't know about you, but when I was afraid, I didn't think about anybody, only little Jerry. You get insular. Nothing matters. Nobody matters. It's all about you. You know, and folks, it's not all about you. Because you don't have to carry the fear. There's a lovely old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And the refrain on this, take it, no matter what your problems are, take it to the Lord in prayer, and He will take care of it. We take another look at verse 11. They turned to Moses and complained, "Why did you bring us out into the wilderness to die?" They were saying to Moses, "Look what you've done to us. Why can't we just be like we were in the past?" They don't want to move on to new things. They became stubborn, and we can become stubborn. We can resist change when fear takes hold. In Exodus 14 and 12, they said, Didn't we say to you, in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. What they were saying is, don't rock the boat. Don't upset the status quo. Yes, that's what fear can do. It can keep you from growing in your life. It can keep you from growing in business. It can keep you from growing in a church. It can keep you from growing because it causes you to become stubborn and to remain, as the saying goes, a stick in the mud. God is setting them free after 400 years of slavery. And what do the Israelites say? Let us alone. Leave us alone. And you know, many people today are living that very same way. They would rather live in the bondage of their own sin and rebellion and guilt than to be set free from their sin, from their rebellion, their guilt. They would be set free by one thing, and all they've got to do is to give it all to Jesus. Jesus will take it all and deal with it. Actually, I don't believe that they really prefer to live in the bondage. They are just so afraid to let go and let God. And it's Satan that's holding them. They prefer to let Satan have his way than to surrender to God. And that's a sad thing. But you know, it's a very important thing that they've got to come to terms with. Perhaps some of us here have been living in fear so long that we really don't know what it means to live by faith. If that is the case, there is good news, and we can all start to rectify that today by replacing fear with faith. How can we take risks in faith rather than caving in to fear? Whether we're talking about the first step of faith, giving your life to the Lord, becoming a Christian, or as a mature believer. You know, the next step in any area of faith, we need to learn how to move on to the next level. God's word teaches us that if we are going to take risks, God wants us to have all the facts. Anything that requires faith is going to have some element of risk. But God says there is a right way and there's a wrong way. God's word tells us he doesn't want us to take foolish risks. That's not faith. He says we need first to get the facts. In Proverbs 13 and 16, we are told, every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. And in Proverbs 23, verse 23, we are told, get the facts at any price and hold on tightly to all the good sense you can get. When we're about to make a major decision that involves a risk in our lives, we need to talk to people who may have already done it, people who know things, and to take on the knowledge. We need to get the facts at any price. We need to pray about it. We need to read maybe a book about it, and there's no better book to read than the Bible. Attend a seminar, listen to a tape, find out who's already been there. We need to get the facts. But more than getting the facts, we need to seek the Lord's will before we do anything and make sure that we're doing his will. And that's something which sounds good to us. Having done all of the above, we can move on to the next step, evaluating the costs. Jesus was talking to a crowd, and he was telling them that if they were going to become one of his followers, they needed to count the cost before they took that step of faith. He illustrated his point with the following words from Luke 14:28-31. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? It all makes sense, doesn't it? If you're going to build something, if you're going to do something, we need to count the cost. And as well as counting the cost, we've got to believe that it is his will that we're trying to accomplish. Jesus Christ is able to take your fear and deliver you from the bondage of it. We need to evaluate and count the cost. But you know, with Jesus, he pays the full price. He's already paid it. So there is no cost. The only cost is our pride and to get down on our knees. Proverbs 20:25 reads, "It's a trap. It is foolish and rash to make a promise to the Lord before counting the cost. Every decision has a price tag, and we had better know what that price is before we take the risk." Proverbs 14:15 reads, "The simple believe anything, but the prudent carefully consider their steps." The prudent person of faith thinks about what they're going to do. They understand that you don't go charging into battle without a plan. Proverbs 16:9 tells us we should make plans counting on God to direct us. Notice there are two parts to that verse, our part and God's part. We should make our plans, that's our part, but we need to rely on God to direct us. And that's his part. And the only way we'll get to know his will, we need to pray and ask God for his direction. What I'm saying is that prayer and preparation go together. When we prepare without prayer, we're going to have a problem. And when we have prayer without preparation, we're going to have a problem. Bit of a conundrum, that. It's like marriage. You can't do one without the other. You need them both. They go hand in hand. The Bible instructs us to plan our lives, to think where we're going, to be intelligent in the way we act and live. And I've heard people say, "Well, I don't make plans. I don't organize. I just live by faith." Well, I've got news for you. That's not faith. That's presumption. And there's a big difference. The Bible says we should make all our plans counting on God's direction. When we set our goals, we need to be sure that we can meet them. And we need to tell people about them. Why? Why can't we just do them? And then if they don't work out, we won't look so bad. We won't lose face. Well, if you're going to do something that's in God's will, you're doing it to glorify him. And if you don't make it known what you're doing, who's going to get the glory when it does succeed? Is it going to be done, "Well done, Jerry. Well done, mate. You know, you've done a grand job there." And if it goes wrong, oh, well, the same thing. You know, but we believe that God wants us to do this in our life by such and such a date. And we need to make it clear that it's the Lord's will that we're doing. James puts it like this in James 4:15-16. "What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you will be boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil." If it's the Lord's will, then we need to be bold, and we need to be confident that he will be with us all the way, because he never leaves us. It's us who can leave him behind at times. And we need to remember that. We don't do it presumptuously. We don't say it's going to happen no matter what. It's if it's the Lord's will that it's going to happen. You know, as a church, we've made a statement, a mission statement. I've set out our visions. If you just go onto the website, you can read them. And we're making it public that that's what we stand on here in this church. This is what we believe God wants us to do. And we trust and pray that the Lord will prompt others who read it to say yes and amen. I want to go along with that. I want to get on board. So it's important that we announce our connection with the Lord. It's very important because the most difficult part of taking the risk is letting go of the old. We all seem stuck or can't be stuck in the muds. We don't want to leave our job until the new one's secure. We don't want to move house until we've seen what the new one's like. We don't want to break up our relationship because we don't know where the next one is. But we don't have to make those decisions on our own. We need to take it to the Lord and get his guidance, and he will direct us. We're reluctant to throw away anything. We don't want to get rid of the crutches that we've been using for years. They're comfortable. We can manage them. But if we want to move on, we've got to let go and launch out. And that's where the difficulty comes. Fear can cause us to remain stuck in our ways. And why do people remain stuck in their current situation? Simply because they don't have faith. And a lot of people don't have faith because they don't have God. And you can't have God in your life. If you don't have faith, you can't have faith in your life if you don't have God. It's that old conundrum again. The two go hand in hand. Could it be the same reason the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt? Fear of the unknown. Psalm 56 and 3 reads, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God, I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" We can rely on the Lord to give us the courage to face our fears and to launch out. Notice that the psalmist admits that he is afraid. And we need to admit when we're afraid. But he put his trust in God. And when he put his faith and trust in God, fear subsides. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving ahead despite our fears. I don't know about you, but fear can be very crippling. If you don't get anything else out of what I've said this morning, I want you to get this. The key to living by faith, the key to overcoming our fears that can keep us bound up, the key to being liberated in life is to move against whatever fear is controlling you with the Lord's leading. We tend to say, one of these days, I'm really going to get serious for God. And I'm really going to make him number one in every area of my life. I ask, when are you going to do it? Move against that fear. Some people might say, "Oh, but people think I'm a fanatic. It won't work. I'll regret it." Move against that fear. One of these days, I'm going to find a church family. I'm going to join. Well then, when are you going to do it? What are you waiting for? Move against that fear. One of these days, I'm going to develop my talents that God has given me. So that's a bit of a contradiction there. My talents, how are they your talents if God has given you them? I'm going to go after the dream I know he's put in my heart. Why one of these days? Why not now? Move against that fear. We need to remember that the Lord does not call the equipped, but equips those that are called. Now is the time. Start acting, please. That thing that has you most afraid, in Christ's name, let it go. Go to Him. You'll never want to turn back again once you've got the Lord in your life. So, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us to grow stronger in our faith. Lord, give us the courage and the grace to face our fears and to place ourselves fully and unreservedly in your hands, to trust in your faithfulness. Help us to take ownership of your promise that you have plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and the future. Lord, we ask that you will give us a special touch and a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit this morning. Father, teach us to listen for your voice as our guide. As to your will for our lives, Lord, enable us to recognize and readily to proclaim your gospel with confidence to all you send across our paths. Lord, help us not only to be hearers, but to be doers of your word. And Lord, we ask all of this in and through the precious name of Jesus. Amen.